For decades, Canadians have been fed the same story, one of unity, equality, and shared prosperity. A nation where every province is an equal partner, where the West and the East work together, and where Confederation was a bold step towards self-governance. But what if I told you that story was a lie? What if I told you that Confederation was never about fairness? That it wasn't a partnership at all, but a hostile takeover crafted by an elite few in Ontario and Quebec? That the system wasn't designed to unite, but to control? Canada didn't come together through democratic consensus. It wasn't a voluntary union. It was a project of economic and political conquest, orchestrated to keep power centralized in the East, while the West, indigenous nations, and the resource-rich provinces were left as nothing more than assets to be exploited. The British North American Act of 1867, the very foundation of Canada, was never about freedom. It was a top-down document imposed by Britain and a handful of Eastern elites, granting Ottawa complete authority over trade, taxation, and criminal law. The provinces? They were treated like administrative districts, not partners. Right from the start, Canada's system was rigged against the provinces. The federal government held the power of the purse, the power of law, and the power to overrule provincial decisions. They controlled the land, the economy, and the rules of the game. And once they had that control, they never let go. Confederation wasn't a noble agreement. It was an economic blueprint for domination. And the consequences of that original deal are still being felt today. The West, still exploited for its resources. The Indigenous nations, still denied true self-governance. The provinces, still treated as subsidiaries of an all-powerful Ottawa. And every time someone challenges this system, they're told the same thing. This is just how Canada works. But if the system was built to be broken, how much longer can we pretend it works? Canada didn't start with a revolution. It wasn't built on a national uprising or the will of its people. Instead, it was handed down like a business contract, designed not for the provinces, but for the people in power. And the blueprint for that control? The British North America Act of 1867. The BNA Act was Canada's founding document, but let's be clear, it wasn't written by Canadians for Canadians. It was a British document, drafted by a handful of Eastern politicians and approved by London without a single vote from the people it would govern. This wasn't about independence. This was about keeping Ottawa at the top and the provinces in check. From the very first paragraph, the BNA Act makes it clear. Canada was never meant to be a federation of equals. The provinces were given the illusion of self-governance. But the real power, the power to control taxation, trade, and law, was kept firmly in Ottawa's hands. And that wasn't an accident. The people who wrote this document didn't trust the provinces to govern themselves. They needed a system that looked democratic on paper, but in reality was completely stacked in favor of the federal government. And that system? It's still running today. Think about it. Why does Ottawa still have final say over provincial resources? Why do provinces like Alberta and Saskatchewan have to fight to develop their own industries? Why does Quebec have more power over its affairs than Western provinces? Because the BNA Act was never designed to give provinces an equal say. When the Constitution was repatriated in 1982, it should have been the moment provinces finally gained control over their own futures. But instead, the BNA Act was kept intact, and Ottawa's authority over the provinces remained unchanged. It was never fixed, just rebranded. This wasn't a nation-building document, it was a control mechanism. And if you want proof, just look at how the West was treated after 1867. By the time Alberta and Saskatchewan joined Confederation in 1905, the framework had already been set. The West was always going to be a cash cow for Ottawa, not a partner. And as we'll see, this imbalance of power only deepened with the 1982 Constitution Act. When Pierre Trudeau brought the Constitution back to Canada in 1982, he didn't return sovereignty to the provinces. He gave the illusion of autonomy, while making sure that Ottawa kept control. The act didn't grant any real powers to the provinces. Instead, it left the Supreme Court and Ottawa holding the real power. The West's autonomy was still shackled. The illusion of self-governance continued. Quebec refused to sign the Constitution. Why? Because it saw what the rest of the provinces should have seen, a rigged game that tilted the scales in favor of the federal government. And when Alberta and Saskatchewan signed on, it wasn't about sovereignty, it was about control. Trudeau's changes didn't fix the system, they solidified it. The system of control, taxation, and regulation that started with the BNA Act of 1867 was locked in place by the Constitution Act of 1982. It gave the courts the final say over any challenge to federal power, ensuring that no province, not Alberta, not Saskatchewan, not even Quebec, could ever truly go their own way. And as history shows, every time a province pushes back, the same institutions come out to remind them who really runs the country. The fight for Western sovereignty didn't start today. It didn't start with pipelines, carbon taxes, or equalization payments. It started the moment Alberta and Saskatchewan were forced into a system that was never meant to work for them. And the reality of Ottawa's power is still alive today. The BNA Act, combined with the Constitution Act of 1982, set the stage for everything that's wrong with Canada today. It's not just about politics. It's about resources, sovereignty, and the stolen wealth of the West. Ottawa continues to exploit the wealth of Alberta and Saskatchewan without allowing them to control their own resources. Carbon taxes, regulatory chokeholds, and federal resource monopolies continue to tie the hands of the West while the government cashes in. Equalization payments, carbon taxes, and environmental regulations are just a few examples of how Ottawa continues to treat the West like a colony. These policies are not about national unity. They are about control. They are about forcing Alberta, Saskatchewan, and other provinces to pay for Ottawa's agenda while the government remains in full control. And when provinces push back, the federal government, the Supreme Court, and the media work together to shut it down. Every attempt at provincial sovereignty is met with resistance because the system was designed that way. The question is, how much longer will the West accept this? Because the more you look at it, the clearer it becomes. Canada, as it exists today, is a failed system. The people who built the West never signed up to be economic hostages to Ottawa. And if history has taught us anything, it's that when a system fails, people start looking for alternatives. If Canada refuses to change, then the West will have to ask itself a hard question. Is it time to go our own way?